Along with cancer and circulatory disease, doctors are now one of the three most important causes of death and injury. Incompetent or careless doctors cause a horrifying amount of death and injury. Many of the injuries and deaths among patients are caused by simple, straightforward incompetence rather than bad luck or unforeseen complications. When doctors studied what had happened to more than 30,000 patients in one survey, all of whom had been admitted to acute care hospitals, they found that nearly 4% of them suffered injuries in the course of their treatment, and that 14% of the patients died of their injuries. The fact is that doctors kill vastly more innocent people than terrorists do. Indeed, if terrorists killed a fraction of the number of people killed by doctors, the world would be in a state of constant panic. The medical literature is full of examples of doctor-induced illness and death. At least a fifth of British patients who have slightly raised blood pressure are treated unnecessarily with drugs. At least a fifth of radiological examinations are clinically unhelpful. Inexperienced and inadequately supervised doctors in casualty units kill at least 1,000 patients a year in the UK alone. Doctors, often egged on by drug companies, claim that it's thanks to them that we're all living longer these days, and that drug companies and doctors have improved our general health. That's baloney. The evidence shows that there really hasn't been much change in the life expectation in recent years. After all, way back in biblical times, ordinary folk were encouraged to expect a lifespan of 70 years and 10. Drug companies and doctors like to take all the credit for the alleged improvement, but the truth is that cleaner drinking water and better sewage facilities introduced in the 19th century resulted in a fall in infant mortality levels, and reducing infant mortality is what's made a tremendous difference to overall life expectancy figures. A study in Australia showed that 470,000 Australian men, women and children are admitted to hospital every year because they've been made ill by doctors. Figures in Europe are no better. One in six British hospital patients is in hospital and receiving treatment because he or she has been made ill by doctors. Around half of all the adverse effects associated with doctors are clearly and readily preventable and are usually a result of ignorance or incompetence or a mixture of both. The rest would be preventable with a little care and thought. Everywhere you look, there are scandals. It was estimated in one medical publication that 3/4 of surgeons were still using hernia repair techniques which were regarded internationally as obsolete. The problem is that once a surgeon's got a job, he's likely to stay set in his ways. Over the years, the only thing that'll change is that he will acquire an increasing number of prejudices and bad habits. The regulators, who are supposed to protect patients from dishonest or disreputable or incompetent doctors, seem generally unconcerned with things that really should concern them. For example, when newspapers reported that a large drug company had been reprimanded by the industry's own watchdog for paying doctors to switch patients from rival medicines to their own product, I saw no suggestion that the doctors involved might be subjected to professional discipline. These, remember, were doctors who had effectively accepted bribes to change their patients' medication. The astonishing truth is that most medical treatments are untried and have never been proved to be any good at all. Even drug treatments which are well established have still not yet been properly thought out or evaluated. Prejudice and superstition are hardly a sound basis for good science. Drugs are wildly overprescribed, both by hospital doctors and by general practitioners, and doctors and hospitals are often appallingly and inexcusably slow. Delays usually do nothing to damage hospital success rates. Doctors have always made mistakes, and there have always been patients who've died as a result of medical ignorance or incompetence. But we've now reached a point where, on balance, many well-meaning doctors in general practice and many highly trained, well-equipped specialists working in hospitals do more harm than good. Through a mixture of ignorance and incompetence, doctors are killing more people than they're saving, and they're causing more illness and more discomfort than they're alleviating. It's true, of course, that doctors save thousands of lives by prescribing life-saving drugs, such as antibiotics, and performing essential life-saving surgery on road accident victims. But the tragedy is that the good which doctors do is often far outweighed by the bad. What's even more worrying is the fact that the epidemic of iatrogenic disease, that's disease caused by doctors and hospitals and so on, which has scarred medical practice for decades, has been steadily getting worse. Today, most of us would, most of the time, be better off without a medical profession. A former Director General of the World Health Organization, some considerable years ago, startled the medical establishment by stating that the major and most expensive part of medical knowledge as applied today appears to be more for the satisfaction of the health professions than for the benefit of the consumers of healthcare. The evidence certainly supports that point of view. Consider, for example, what happens when doctors go on strike and leave patients to cope without medical help. You might imagine that people would be dying like flies, but not a bit of it. When doctors in Israel went on strike for a month, admissions to hospital dropped by 85%, with only the most urgent cases being admitted. But despite this, the death rate in Israel dropped by 50%, the largest drop since the previous doctor's strike 20 years earlier, to its lowest ever recorded level. Much the same's happened whenever doctors have gone on strike, I'm afraid. A report published in the Journal of the Royal Society of Medicine concluded that many hospital patients who suffer heart attacks die during the confused and disorganized charades of attempts to save them because hospital doctors don't know how to give emergency resuscitation. Even more worrying was an editorial published in the British Medical Journal which stated that only 1% of the articles in medical journals are scientifically sound, and that only 15% of medical interventions are supported by solid scientific evidence. In other words, the majority of treatments are completely untried, and when a doctor writes out a prescription or sticks a knife into a patient, neither he nor anyone else has much of an idea of what will happen next. The only logical conclusion is that governments need to introduce annual tests for doctors and methods of working. In other words, it's doctors, not patients, who need regular checkups. We don't allow old cars onto the roads unless they pass a safety test. Doctors have a tremendous position of power and can probably do more harm than any other group of individuals in the community. But once a man or woman receives a degree certificate, he or she is given a license for life. Who would willingly fly in a plane piloted by a man or woman who'd passed their exam 50 years earlier in a Tiger Moth and hadn't made any attempt to keep up to date? Doctors should be examined annually to make sure that they do keep up to date and remain honest. Thousands of doctors today were trained and qualified long before available modern drugs were put on the market, and they don't know or understand the products they prescribe. There are an estimated 30,000 drugs available in the world today. It's impossible for the average doctor to have a working knowledge of more than around 50 of those. Doctors who prescribe brand new drugs without studying the contraindications, possible side effects and interactions are putting their patients at risk. In the UK, the General Medical Council introduced a useless, bureaucratic, box-ticking scheme called revalidation, which is, I suspect, more likely to force good doctors into retirement than it is to minimise the harm done by bad doctors. We need something international and much better than that. Thanks for watching An Old Man in a Chair.